Here's a guy who's an expert on elections and voting behavior. He's been with us before. He's been part of the political science faculty at UK since 1998. Dr. Stephen Voss. Dr. Voss, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Were you surprised that the mayor is entering the 6th District congressional race?
No, I wasn't surprised. But even though I usually don't have inside information, I'd heard behind the scenes this one was coming. So
yeah.
It's not political science knowledge.
No, I think you're right. Like I said, we'd been talking about it off and on, Bob and I, on the air and off the air for a long time. In fact, I don't know, 2-3 months ago, I saw the mayor and I said, now, look, when you decide to run for Congress, you're going to call me first, right? You know, we just had a little chuckle about that. But he didn't say, oh, no, I'm not going to run.
You know, a whole lot of being a politician is watching for when the window is going to open for you. You know, you get a congressional seat at the right time, you can build a career out of it. But most elections aren't the right time. This is when Democrats want to be trying to, you know, to get rooted into those seats, because you have an incredibly unpopular, incredibly unpopular Republican president, and we have a swing district here, a district that could be in play for either party.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's popularity may be a bit muted in this district, which may serve to Gray's advantage. I don't think we can say that he's unpopular in Kentucky, the president, by and large.
No, that's right.
But this is,
you know, with Lexington,
right.
You know, it was one of the two urban areas that tend to support Democrats as the, you know, the main source of population in that district. It's one that you could very easily imagine going to the Democrats in one of those years when the sort of wave of partisan sentiment is in their direction. You know, you wouldn't say this is a Democratic district usually. But and to be clear, you know, I'm saying that Trump's unpopularity is part of this story. But in general, the president of the party gets hammered, 2 years afterward.
That's true.
If it's a Republican president or a Democratic president.
That's true, yeah. The party out of power tends to have a surge in the midterm elections. That's true.
That's right. But the less popular their president, the more likely you're going to see that sort of surge. So, you know, Obama was unpopular 2 years into his presidency. The Democrats took a bad hit. Now Trump's really unpopular 2 years into his presidency. You other things equal, you'd expect the Republicans to take a hit. The only thing that sort of is a question mark there is Trump's unpopularity is partly among Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and independents who usually vote for Republicans. It's not clear that those sorts of people will carry their unpopularity with him over to a congressional race to the same extent other voters do.
Well, and then also looking at what Gray's going to face in getting through the Democratic primary, Senator Reggie Thomas has been representing Fayette County as a state senator, so he's a well-known name, at least in the Lexington, in the largest county of the 6th district. And then Amy McGrath. Now, while she's not tested politically, this is her first run, she's got an extremely impressive military record. She has surrounded herself with some pretty sharp politicos, and she's raised, as of September the 30th, she'd raised $807,125 with over $500,000 in the bank. So
yeah, she's generated a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And you know, even if Gray hadn't entered the race, the Democrats weren't ready to count this one out, you know, even with the two candidates you just mentioned.
And then Gray is fresh off a loss. And I guess you tell me whether you believe in the conventional wisdom of, well, you can't lose twice. Now, if he loses again, that's pretty much done. Gray's done as far as running for any sort of federal or statewide office. First of all, do you buy that? And does this come too soon on the hill? Because he's got to give up his mayor's seat now. So he's actually risking something that he didn't risk when he ran against Rand Paul, because he'd had his second term as mayor he could complete. This time he's risking the mayor's seat.
You know, there's no magic formula that says after you lose 2, you're out. But in politics, perception is often reality. If you can't get people to donate to you, if you can't get endorsements or the like, because you've lost twice, then yeah, you know, you could essentially be doomed. I don't know. I guess the bigger question, right, is for the Democrats, does having him run while there are two other strong candidates pose a risk to them? The conventional wisdom there is that when you have a hotly contested primary, it hurts your party. But the political science evidence doesn't really support that. There are certainly cases where, you know, people came bruised and battered and with their funds depleted out of a primary, and that seemed to contribute to their loss. But then there's a positive, which is when you have three good candidates, if nobody really runs off the other candidate's supporters, you get enthusiasm. Democrats get registered to vote early. They're paying attention to the election early, and that can benefit whoever gets the nomination down the road.
Let me ask you again, though, about, again, running so soon after he was defeated by Rand Paul in a statewide race. And I've said this before. I never could recall a political candidate that was penalized by the voters for seeking higher office while they held one. Now, he's double-dipping, going back again, asking the people of Lexington to, look, we know this is going to take away from his duties as mayor. It just will. There's only so many hours in the day, and he's going to have to campaign aggressively. Could he be stretching the voters' patience a little bit in doing this again so soon? Again, holding office while running for another one.
I have to agree with you, what you said, that you've never heard of the voters punishing anybody for doing that. Generally, when we look at what motivates voters, it's not that kind of thing. And they'll vote for him or not based on how they feel about the congressional contest.
Yeah, so even if he's doing it a second time so soon after he did it the first time, you still think it's penalty-free. I can't think of, at least for one run, where somebody was penalized because they sought higher office.
Yeah, well, okay, so he's got to raise money. Obviously, he has access to his own funds, but any significant race like this does involve fundraising. And, you know, there are cases where you hear candidates struggle to raise money because they kind of tapped out their donor base too recently. So I suppose that would be, you know, from a political science perspective, the cost of running for multiple offices in a short amount of time is if you have trouble getting the funds.
Yeah, and see, he can't really, if he steps down and devotes his 100% energy to running for Congress, then the vice mayor takes over. But the vice mayor is strongly rumored as a mayoral candidate. So that would be giving one of the potential mayoral candidates a real leg up. So, you know, would that be the right thing to do? Because this is going to be a scrum, don't you think? This mayor's race in Lexington, we already got one at-large council member that's already in, Kevin Stennett. He's announced he didn't take long to enter the race. It sounded like he was ready to pull the trigger on it as soon as Gray announced he was running for the 6th District congressional seat. And I would suspect, I mean, as long as I've lived in Lexington and paid close attention to this, I can't remember any more than four candidates ever entering the primary for mayor. Now, of course, it's a nonpartisan office, nonpartisan race, so, I mean, but we could have more than four running this time.
What you may see is why having the political parties, which people don't like, actually benefits us, right? It simplifies the choices. For sure, urban politics, especially in a case like this where it's not partisan, you can have just so many candidates that voters don't really have much hope of making sense of it all. We may see that.
Yeah, we might. We may see that. But I'm so glad it's a nonpartisan office. I just think we get so much more done because of that in this city. Don't you? That it's a nonpartisan office?
You know, it does tend to be a sleepy politics compared to what you see for Congress. I mean, but again, you know, looking at the political science evidence, what it suggests is that even supposedly nonpartisan races, people kind of figure out who the Democrats and the Republicans are, and they vote fairly similarly to how they do when you have partisan races. You know, people aren't so easily fooled.
No. This race just got more expensive for Congress with Gray entering the race. We mentioned Amy McGrath's money. Now Gray can become financially competitive with one stroke of the pen meeting his checkbook. So raising money now on all sides, Barr side, McGrath, Thomas, Gray. This race has gotten more expensive, don't you think?
Yeah, the really important money is the money that the challenger has. You know, if the challenger doesn't raise enough to pose a serious threat to the incumbent, in this case to Andy Barr, then you don't get a live race. Once you know your challenger is going to have enough money to mount a serious campaign, the amount of money stops mattering nearly as much. Mm-hmm. But we clearly have at least two Democrats. I'm guessing any Democrat, with any credibility, would be able to attract enough money in this race because the situation's so promising for Democrats in 2018.
Yeah, but I still think, and don't you believe it's going to be important once you get to the general election, whoever the Democratic candidate might be, they're probably going to need a little help from the National Congressional Committee, and that National Congressional Committee is going to have to see that candidate's got a real shot.
That's right, but you know there are fewer and fewer races where both a Democrat and a Republican have a real shot, and whenever you get a live race with two serious opponents, one on each side, that money gets pumped in, and unless something really weird happens, I think the Democrats are going to be bringing their money over here.
Yeah. Well, it ought to be. It's really the only congressional district that they've got a shot in outside of the 3rd congressional district, where John Yarmuth looks to be fairly ensconced in that particular office. But as far as the other congressional districts, it's this is really the only one that tends to flip from time to time.
That's right. Within this state, it's the only game in town right now.
Yeah, well, it should be fascinating. Are there going to be courses on our political setting now? I mean, with Trump as unconventional as he is and things as crazy as they are, I mean, as a guy that studies this, that's made a career out of observing this and learning about this, I would imagine it's unprecedented. I mean, we're all going through something we've never seen before.
Yeah, we had the courses before. The question is, did we have to tear up the textbook and tear up the syllabi and rethink a whole lot? For sure, Trump has been able to buck the conventional wisdom and survive over and over, and we're still kind of trying to struggle, as political scientists with how much of what we thought we knew we don't really know anymore. I didn't know he'd win. I've been studying elections both from a statistical perspective and as a historian, for my whole life, and I didn't know, and really not many people did know that he was going to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, but he did, and so far he's been able to hold on to his base, and in turn he's able to keep a lot of Republicans on board because of that. Although I did see a survey, I think it was NBC News reported it, but they didn't do the survey. This was done by the Public Religion Research Institute. 31% of Republicans would like to see a new nominee for president in 2020, but 63% are happy with Trump running for reelection. 61% of those who disapprove say Trump can't do anything to win their support. 37% say there's nothing he can do to lose it. So still got some entrenched voter blocks within the Republican Party.
We haven't seen a serious challenge to a sitting president in a primary in a long time, but that doesn't mean they can't happen.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter in particular faced a challenge from Ted Kennedy when he had to go up for reelection in 1980, and some people think that challenge, helped Reagan beat him in the 1980 election. Trump is so unpopular with such a large chunk of the Republican electorate that it would not at all be surprising to see a serious challenge come. I don't know who it would be. Mitt Romney, people have talked about him, for example, coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not be surprising to see that history, that sort of streak since 1976 broken.
No, especially if the base begins to crumble underneath President Trump. Dr. Voss, always great to talk to you. Thanks very much for the afternoon, too. Next.